Well, let me invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. If you're joining us for the first time tonight, we're currently in a series that I've entitled Navigating the Book of Revelation. And as I have repeated often, my goal in this study is not simply to teach you the book, but to help you become so familiar with the book of Revelation that in the future you will be equipped to study it on your own. You've seen thus far that each of these studies has built upon information that we learned in the previous study. Teaching in this way is intended not only to establish a good foundation for your understanding of this book as a whole, but I'm attempting to show you the chronological structure that God has built into this amazing book. The title of my message tonight is Locating the Benchmark Within Revelation. And as I said this morning, in my estimation, this is the most important study of this entire series. I know what we have covered. I know what we're going to cover in the weeks and months ahead. I say this in all seriousness, I believe this is the most important study that we will have because of the tools it will give you to help you understand the structure of the book of Revelation. When we hear someone use the term benchmark today, they are usually referring to a standard by which they are judging something. However, it was land surveyors who first used the word. Surveyors used the term benchmark to describe a mark that they put on a fixed object, like a tree or a rock or a wooden stake that they would drive in the ground. Once this benchmark was established, it served as a critical point of reference necessary for a precise mapping of the lay of the land. Often surveyors faced rugged terrain, which made the placing or finding a previous established benchmark a difficult task. But regardless of the challenges involved, surveyors understood that without a benchmark, they had no sure starting point for beginning their work, and thus no assurance that they would be surveying the land accurately. In a similar way, I believe it's necessary to find a benchmark within the book of Revelation to survey the prophetic events recorded in this book accurately. Without this benchmark, it's impossible to precisely determine the order in which the prophetic events occur. I believe the Lord has provided us with just such a benchmark. And I want you to hold your place here in Revelation 8 because we're soon to come back to it. But I want you to turn forward to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, verse 14. And the first part, the A part of verse 15. John writes, "The second woe is past. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded. Now, I know reading this verse without context tells you absolutely nothing. Therefore, tonight, I want to take the time to establish the context of these verses and explain why they are the benchmark of Revelation's chronology. I would encourage you to take notes, to circle and underline some words. You're going to need to pay attention tonight, but I promise you if you do, the Lord will give you the key to unlock the chronology of the book of Revelation. Let's pray together and ask Him to do that. Father, I'm thankful tonight for this opportunity to teach Your Word. You know that I personally look forward to this particular message because of the significance of it. Father, there is nothing I have, as the Apostle Paul said, that I haven't received, and that from You. It is my desire, Lord, that You would open the understanding of Your people, that they would see for themselves the truth that I am communicating, that You would seal it to their heart, and You would use it in their life to help them to become familiar with this wonderful book and to be able to navigate it on their own. Father, if You'd do this, we'd all be thankful. For we pray and ask it of You in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. With even a casual reading of Revelation 6 through 16, a person can see that there is an obvious chronological order to the events described. In these chapters, chapter 6 through 16, John witnesses three specific series of prophetic events. He sees the seven seals opened. He hears the seven trumpets blown. And he sees the seven vials poured out. In each case, John described the prophesied events as following standard numerical sequence, with numbers progressing from 1 to 7 as the events occur. In other words, things happen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And this pattern is repeated three times. Do you follow what I am saying? Now look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 8, because as we focus on the seven trumpets of Revelation, we can see that as each trumpet is sounded, that's the Bible term, or blown, we would say, it is blown in numerical order. The blowing of each trumpet precedes a specific judgment from God. Now let me repeat that. As each trumpet is blown, it is blown in numerical order. Trumpet 1, trumpet 2, trumpet 3, trumpet 4, and so on. And the blowing of each trumpet precedes a specific judgment from God that follows the blowing of the trumpet. Now look at Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7. I'll show you the first example of this. John writes in Revelation 8, 7, "And the first angel sounded," or the first angel blew his trumpet. Notice, and there followed, after the blowing of the trumpet, hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Notice that in this verse, God's judgment of the hail and the fire does not begin until after the angel blows the first trumpet. We will see this pattern repeated as each of the trumpets that follow are blown. Now, I know this seems pretty obvious and pretty elementary, but I'm drawing your attention to this fact that you might understand from the very beginning that the book of Revelation has structure. The trumpets are blown in order. Judgment follows after each trumpet is blown. It's important to see that at the onset of each judgment is inseparably linked to the particular trumpets being blown. The trumpets and the judgments are united. Therefore, as the trumpets are sounded in numerical sequence from 1 through 7, the judgments associated with each trumpet follow according to chronological order. Are you following what I'm saying? Look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 8. Verses 6 through 12. Just scan over these. Revelation 6 through 8. John hears the first four trumpets sounded, and he sees the subsequent judgments that befall the earth after each one of these trumpets has sounded. He first hears the first trumpet blown, and what follows is hail, fire mingled with blood. Then the second trumpet sounds, and he sees something that by his description is like a burning mountain that is cast into the sea. The third trumpet is sounded, and he sees a third of the waters, the fresh waters on earth, polluted. The fourth trumpet is blown, and he sees a third of the sun, the moon, and the stars smitten, darkened. Now look what takes place. Four trumpets have taken place. And with the sounding of each trumpet, what has followed is a judgment linked to that trumpet. But look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 8 and verse 13. John says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe! Woe! Woe!'" Notice, to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Four trumpets have been blown, four of seven. So if four have been blown, there are three that remains. And what John hears in verse number 13 of Revelation chapter 8, before these three trumpets are blown, these final trumpets are blown, he hears this pronouncement, "Woe, woe, woe," by reason, because of the trumpets that are yet to be blown. It would be the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet that are yet to be blown. Our English word woe comes from a Greek word which means an exclamation of grief. In this case, the angel is making a pronouncement of grief. Notice in verse 13 that these woes will come. These three woes, woe, 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 will come to the inhabitants of the earth. Because of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. In other words, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet will be an exclamation of grief, which is warning of the severity of the judgments to follow. Later in this series, as we study the judgments associated with these final three trumpets, you will see how they are far more severe than the judgments of the four previous trumpets. But before we can further establish the chronology of Revelation, we must take the time here to better understand the nature of these woes and their relationship to one another. Look, if you would, at Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. In these verses, we have a detailed description of the judgment of the fifth trumpet, which is the first of these three woes. It is the pretty familiar to you probably plague of these demonic locusts. Now notice how chapter 9 begins, Revelation 9:1, and the fifth angel sounded, or the fifth angel blew his trumpet. This sounding or blowing of the fifth trumpet marks the beginning of the first woe. We know the first woe begins when the angel blows the fifth trumpet for two reasons. First of all, we saw in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 13 that the angel told John that these final three trumpets would be woes. Now in Revelation 9:1, John hears the first of these final three trumpets, the fifth trumpet, blown. Therefore, we know that this is the first of the three prophesied woes. But there's a second reason we know this is the case. Because look, if you would, at Revelation 9:12. Notice what Revelation 9:12 says. One woe is past, talking about being over. Clearly, for the first woe to be past, it must have begun with the sounding of the fifth trumpet. This is the pattern that we have seen with the four previous trumpets. The trumpet is blown, and the judgment comes. Now the angel says, there are three trumpets yet to sound. Connected with these three trumpets are three woes. So the fifth trumpet sounds, the first woe is commencing. Thus, the locust judgment described in verses 1 through 12 is the fulfillment of the first woe. So not only do these judgments follow the blowing of each trumpet, but now we see that these judgments have a clear beginning and a clear end. Because verse 12 of chapter 9 says, one woe is past. It began in verse 1, it ended in verse 12. Now notice that John not only identifies this woe's beginning and end, he also describes the duration of the first woe. John writes in Revelation 9, 5, and 6, and to them, speaking of these locusts, to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days, during that 5 month period, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Then look again in verse number 10 of Revelation 9, because the duration of this woe is spoken of once again. And they, referring to the locusts, had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men, notice, 5 months. There is a debate about the duration of this first woe. In question is whether or not the Bible is teaching that these locusts will be around for 5 months, Revelation 9, 5, or teaching that the sting of the locust will inflict pain on individuals for 5 months, Revelation 9, 10. Or if it is teaching both. Now think with me. If the Bible is teaching both of these truths, then a person bitten on the last day of the 5th month would continue to suffer for 5 more months after the locusts are gone, thus making the duration of this first woe 10 months. This debate, however, has no real bearing on the outcome of our current study. What is important, though, is to recognize that this first woe will last for at least 5 months. So we can see from the text, the 5th trumpet, the first woe, follows the blowing of the 5th trumpet. It has a clear beginning. It has a specific duration, at least 5 months. And it has a definite end, Revelation 9:12. Now look what Revelation 12 goes on to say. Because Revelation 12 not only declares that the first woe is past, but it also announces the coming of the next 2 woes. John writes, one woe is past, and behold, there come 2 more woes hereafter. It's important to recognize the pattern or order associated with these next 2 woes. John saw the judgment of the first woe beginning with the blowing of the 5th trumpet and ending after a specific number of months. Also, it must be noted that the first woe ends before the second woe begins. Let me repeat that. The first woe ends before the second woe begins. In other words, the woes do not overlap one another. We see these judgments of the next two trumpets and woes following exactly the same pattern. In the book of Exodus, we have the best illustration of what the book of Revelation is describing here concerning this pattern. Hold your place here. Turn, if you would, to Exodus chapter 7. Now, for the sake of time, I'm only going to cite three examples of the 10 plagues. We could go through all 10 plagues because they all follow the same example. And the point that I'm making from Exodus that I want you to see is that the plagues that Moses called down had a specific beginning, they had duration, and they had end. And the plagues did not overlap each other, just like the trumpets. Revelation 7 and verse 20, "And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded them. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood." Now notice what we're being told there. The water was fine before Moses lifted up his rod. But there was a beginning to this plague when Moses lifted up his rod and struck the waters. And with that, the plague of blood began. Now notice, if you would, Exodus 7:25. "And 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river." In other words, this plague had duration. The duration was 7 days. And then the plague was over. Look at Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8, verse number 6. "And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt." Look, if you would, at verses 13 and 14 of chapter 8. "And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses and out of the villages and out of the fields, and they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank." It had a beginning. It obviously had some duration because Pharaoh didn't call for him immediately and say, remove the frogs. And then Moses prayed, the frogs were removed, and they gathered them up. The plague was over. Look, if you would, at Exodus chapter 8, verse 23 and 24. God says, "And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." And the Lord did so, and there came up grievous swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh. Now this is fascinating, another discussion altogether. But notice, there were no swarms. God announces that this is going to come. It's going to come as a sign. He makes the distinction that, look, it's going to be a problem for Pharaoh and his people, but it's not going to be a problem for my people. And then the flies showed up. And we think we have problems with them in the summertime. But notice, if you would, Exodus 8:31. "And the Lord did according to the word of Moses." Moses asked him to remove the flies. "And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh." So the plagues of Exodus like the trumpets and woes of Revelation, although they are grouped together, they do not overlap each other. Understanding this is critical to locating the benchmark of Revelation. So in summary to this point, this is what we've seen. Judgments follow the blowing of each trumpet. These judgments have a clear beginning and they have a clear end. The judgments have some duration. And the judgments do not overlap one another. One judgment is over before the next judgment begins. Do you follow me? Okay. Now look at Revelation 9:13. John says, "And the sixth angel sounded." The sixth angel blew his trumpet. This is now the beginning of the second woe. The angel told John to expect in verse 12. Although the Bible does not give us the exact duration of this woe, we can safely assume it will last for several months. I draw this conclusion for three reasons. Number one, the Bible tells us when the second woe begins. It begins in Revelation 9:13. The Bible tells us that this woe does not end until Revelation chapter 11 and verse 14. Look at Revelation 11:14. The second woe is past. It's over. It begins in chapter 9, verse 13. It is not over until chapter 11, verse 14. Basically, three entire chapters. And it describes a series of events which occur between these two points, thus inferring duration. Number two, when we look at the sheer number of events that take place during this second woe that are recorded in chapter 9 through 11, that number of events would suggest it has significant duration. Let me show you what I mean. Look, if you would, at Revelation 9:13 through 21. The first thing John sees is one third of earth humanity destroyed by these demonic horsemen. Next, in Revelation 10:1-4, John hears the seven thunders. These seven thunders appear to be seven more judgments that will unfold during the days of the second woe. We don't know anything about them because John is not to record anything about them. Then in Revelation 11 and verse 7, John saw the two witnesses martyred and resurrected after 3.5 days. And finally, in Revelation 11:13, John sees a great earthquake take place that destroys the tenth of Jerusalem and kills 7,000 men. Therefore, I would conclude if the single event of the locusts involves several months, it would seem that at least a similar period of time would be necessary to fulfill the multiple events of the second woe described in these three chapters. But there's a third reason. The Bible specifically tells us that 3.5 days elapse between the death of the two witnesses and their resurrection and ascension, Revelation 11, 7 through 12. John tells us the witness's death occurs after the blowing of the sixth trumpet. And their ascension takes place just before the seventh trumpet is blown. Therefore, the 3.5 days the witness's body lie unburied falls within the time of the second woe, establishing a specific period of duration, 3.5 days. Beyond this specific reference to 3.5 days, however, we can only speculate on the overall duration of the sixth trumpet and the second woe. As the second woe concludes in Revelation 11:14, notice John's chronological wording. John writes, Revelation 11:14, the second woe is past. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly. John says the second woe is past or over. And as we have seen, the judgments of this second woe chronologically follow the judgments of the first woe, just as the number two follows the number one. In John's vision, the second woe did not begin until the judgment of the first woe was completed or ended. Therefore, all the events between Revelation 9:13 and Revelation 11:14 occur during the time of the sixth trumpet and the second woe. Tell me you're following me. Before we can move to the seventh trumpet and the third woe, we need to understand what the Bible teaches about the duration of the two witnesses' ministry. Because what we are told about their ministry is critical to establishing the benchmark of Revelation that I'm referring to. We are first introduced to these two witnesses in Revelation 11 and verse 3, where John writes, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy," notice, 1,260 days. That is 1,260 days. Clothed in sackcloth. It's important to understand that this verse is teaching the duration of the witnesses' ministry. And John says their ministry will last for 1,260 days. In other words, 1,260 days will elapse between the first day of their ministry and the last day of their ministry. Are you following me? A Jewish month consists of 30 days. Therefore, the duration of the witnesses' ministry will be 3.5 years. In Revelation 11, verses 7 and 8, John describes the event that brings their ministry, their testimony, to an end. John writes, Revelation 11, 7, "And when they shall have," notice, "finished their testimony. The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. These verses tell us that the ministry or the testimony of the two witnesses will end with their martyrdom. Therefore, it is important to recognize if their ministry ends in Revelation 11 with their death, then it began 1260 days earlier. I'm not suggesting that the duration of the sixth trumpet and the second woe will be 1260 days. But rather, the Bible is pointing out the witnesses' ministry will end with the closing events of the sixth trumpet and the second woe, a ministry that began 3.5 years earlier. Now notice how the events surrounding the witnesses' death mark the end of the second woe. John writes in Revelation 11:11-14, "And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them," the two witnesses, "and they stood upon their feet. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant, those that survived, the believing remnant, were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven." Now notice this. The second woe is past, and the third woe cometh quickly. These verses give us several critical pieces of information. The first is this: the two witnesses' dead bodies will lie in the streets of Jerusalem unburied for 3.5 days. Secondly, after 3.5 days, the Spirit of God will resurrect the two witnesses and they will ascend bodily into heaven. A great earthquake will hit Jerusalem at the same hour as the witnesses' ascension. This phrase, "the same hour," means at the same time. This phrase is important because it is linking the witnesses' ascension to this great earthquake that will cause a tenth of Jerusalem to fall and 7,000 people to die. And notice, verse 14 says, the second woe is past, is over with this earthquake. Therefore, according to the Bible, the witnesses' ascension, this great earthquake, and the second woe's conclusion all converge at the same time. More importantly, because of what we're told about the duration of the witnesses' ministry, we can also deduce that 3.5 years have passed with the conclusion of the second woe. In other words, the conclusion of the second woe marks the end of the first 1260 days of the tribulation period. The first 3.5 years. In Revelation 11 and verse 14, John not only heard that the second woe is past, but he heard also that the third woe cometh quickly. When John first learned of the three coming woes in Revelation 8:13, the angel told him these woes would be linked to the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. So far, we have seen the first woe being linked to the fifth trumpet. And we have seen that the second woe was linked and began when the sixth trumpet was blown. Now with this angelic announcement of the coming of the third woe in Revelation 11:14, we can safely assume that this final woe will be linked to the blowing of the seventh trumpet. Are you following me? In Revelation 11, verse 15, John says, "And the seventh angel sounded." This is now the beginning of the third woe. And in Revelation 12, John gives us the details of this last woe, the third woe. Look, if you would, at verse 7 of Revelation chapter 12. John writes, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night." Look, if you would, at verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Notice the emphasis which is being placed on Satan's expulsion from heaven in these verses. Notice the phrase, "Neither was their place found any more in heaven." The phrase, "The great dragon was cast out." The phrase, "He was cast out into the earth." The phrase, "His angels were cast out with him." The phrase, "The accuser of our brethren is cast down." And lastly, "The devil is come down unto you." In Revelation 8 and verse 13, the angel told John that the three woes would come upon the inhabitants of the earth. Now in Revelation 12:12, not only is Satan being cast to the earth, referred to as a woe, but the warning of this woe is, quote, "to the inhabitants of the earth," thus fulfilling the wording of the angel in Revelation 8:13. "Therefore, the third woe is Satan's rage unleashed on those living on earth when he is cast out of heaven and his activities are limited to the earth." It is important to understand the time of this event John is describing. These verses are not referring to the initial fall of Satan. That happened at the dawn of creation. The event John is describing here will not take place until the seventh trumpet is blown. Just as with the two previous woes, this final woe also has specific duration. John writes in Revelation 12, 13 and 14, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent." The book of Daniel, as well as the book of Revelation, would explain to us that this reference to a time is referring to 1 year. And times is referring to 2 years, and a half a time is referring to half a year. If there's any question about that, look, if you would, at Revelation 12 and verse 6. "And the woman fled into the wilderness. She has a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The Bible tells us in these verses that Satan will vent his wrath on the woman and the remnant of her seed in verse 17. It is important to note that we are also being told that this persecution will last for 1,260 days. Therefore, now we're given the duration of the third woe. It will be 3.5 years. Earlier in Revelation 10, John heard an angel allude to the fact that the seventh trumpet had duration. Because John writes in Revelation 10, verses 5 through 7, "And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophet." Notice the phrase, "in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound." Here in Revelation 10, the Bible is describing the seventh trumpet lasting for a specific number of days. And in Revelation 12, we are told the number of those days is 1,260 days. It's important to understand what the Bible has just revealed. We have seen the trumpets blown in numerical order. In each case, the latter trumpets were not blown until the judgments of the former trumpets were passed or completed. This is also true of the final three trumpets and their woes. The latter woes did not begin until the former woes were passed. Therefore, we understand that the events of the seventh trumpet cannot begin until the events of the sixth trumpet are passed. And that's exactly what the Word of God says in Revelation 11 and verse 14. The sixth trumpet and the second woe brought to a conclusion the 1,260 days of ministry for the two witnesses. Now the Bible tells us that the blowing of the seventh trumpet marks the beginning of 1260 days of satanic persecution. Therefore, Revelation 11, 14 and 15a firmly marks the end of the first 1260-day period, the testimony of the two witnesses, and the beginning of the second 1260-day period, Satan's persecution. Revelation 11, 14 and 15, the second woe is past, ending the witnesses' ministry of 1260 days. And behold, the third woe cometh quickly, and the seventh angel sounded, which marks the beginning of 1260 days of satanic persecution. These two distinct and separate 1260 day periods together represent the entire tribulation period. The reason Revelation 11, 14, and 15 is the benchmark of Revelation's chronology is because these verses mark the very middle of the tribulation period. Once a person finds this benchmark, they can actually survey the events that take place on either side of this benchmark. This benchmark is fixed and sure, because it has been fixed by the very Word of God. Because this benchmark has been overlooked by many, confusion reigns when interpreting the book of Revelation. Bible teachers either have the two witnesses' ministry during the Great Tribulation, or they'd say they're not exactly sure when it's going to take place. Some attempt to teach that the latter half of the tribulation period, the Great Tribulation, is not 1260 days in duration. Others place the trumpet judgments and the vial judgments both during the Great Tribulation period, and some even after the tribulation period. It is only after we find the benchmark of Revelation's chronology that we're able to correctly determine that the Bible divides the seven-year tribulation period into two 1260-day periods. The first 1260 days encompassing the witnesses' ministry, the second 1260 days, Satan's persecution, or the Great Tribulation. It is because of this benchmark we know that the tribulation period will be 7 years in duration. And it is because of this benchmark we can determine that the seven trumpets and their judgments will fall within the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and the seven vial judgments will fall in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, or during the Great Tribulation. In our next study, we will begin looking at the specific judgments of the trumpets in detail. Let's pray. Father, I thank you tonight for your grace upon me to communicate these things, for your grace upon your people to receive them. Lord, I know it is a lot to take in a short amount of time. I'm thankful for the resources that we have. First, that we each have a copy of your word that we can go back and study these things for ourselves. I'm thankful that we have the ability to record and make cassettes or CDs. I'm thankful that we are able to have the studies on our website for review. Lord, my greatest desire is that I would leave a legacy to your people here at Open Door where they have a good knowledge of this book that they could benefit from and share with others in the future. Lord, we'd ask that you'd bless this time of invitation. You've given us a great day. Lord, I realize there's possibly people present or people watching online that don't have the assurance of their salvation. I pray that you'd use your prophetic word to impress upon them the urgency of them being saved and knowing you and kept from the deception that is coming upon the whole world. And Father, I would pray for your people that they might rejoice in your goodness and the marvels of your word. Bless this invitation, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.